捷径空中美语
Landmark English.
Hi everyone and welcome again to Landmark English. Welcome Stephanie, it's so good to see you here in the studio.
Gosh, Bill, you're being so nice. What do you want from me?
Nothing. I'm not trying to say I want something from you. I do know that you're here to help out today with our listeners' understanding of how you can use English to tell a story, like our interesting story today all about psychology.
I think you're using one of the principles we're going to be talking about today. You're making me feel like you like me, that you respect what I have to say, and that way I'm going to respond in the way that you want me to. Am I right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you're partly right,
Come
but
on.
It's not like I'm doing this because I don't mean it. I do like you. I do think that you're a great teacher and you'll help our students out a lot. But, you know, I mean, by encouraging you, and if you encourage me, we'll do a great show for our listeners.
Okay, I'll buy into that.
Okay, listeners, that's what we're going to do for you today on day two of The Power of Persuasion. You know how we do this. Open up your magazines to June 19th. Follow along as we read through the first paragraph of our story.
Two, consistency. People feel a need to remain consistent in their words and actions. A well-known restaurant owner was able to reduce no-shows at his restaurant from 30% to 10% by changing two words in his phone script. When customers called in to make a reservation, he asked them, "Will you please call if you change your plans?" Naturally, people said, "Sure." By saying yes over the phone, most people felt obligated to honor their promise and called back if they decided to cancel their dinner reservation instead of not giving any notice.
Okay, here is our second principle of the power of persuasion, how you can make sure that you get people to do what you want them to do. It's consistency. And this idea is that if something is consistent, it always stays the same. It doesn't change. And of course, that's important. If you want someone to do something for you, you got to show them that they can always count on you. And that's exactly what our example is about. People feel a need to remain consistent in their words and actions. So not only is the person who wants to get you, they have to be consistent, but they try and make you feel as if you want to be consistent because you feel that need to remain consistent. You always want to.
Mm-hmm. And they want whatever they say, they want to back it up or do it with their actions. So if you say you're going to do something, you want to be consistent and follow through. Do what you say you're going to do. Well, what happened was a well-known restaurant owner decided, "Hey, we have too many people who make reservations, and then they just cancel. They don't let us know in advance." So he was able to reduce what we call no-shows, people who don't show up when they say they're going to. He was able to reduce these at his restaurant from 30% to 10%, and all he did, Bill, was change two words in his phone script.
That's right. The no-shows means people didn't show up, and if he reduced the percentage, well, of course, he brought it down, made it lower, or reduced it. You can see that. It went from 30 to 10. So he changed those two words. You said in his phone script, and a script is basically all the words for some kind of performance, like maybe a play or a movie or something you always say when somebody calls you on the phone. Okay, so he would say, "Hello, this is our great restaurant. How can I help you?" And they say, "We want to make a reservation." And he says, "Well, what time? How about 7 o'clock? So he has things he normally says when the customers call in to make a reservation. This is what it's all about. A reservation is when you reserve a seat. There's the verb form of the word. And it basically means that the person will save that seat for you at the time and not let anyone else sit at that table.
Now, he just says, one thing he changes, "Will you please just call if you change your plans?" So if you decide not to come and eat at my restaurant, won't you just call me first, please? That's all he did to change the phone script. Well, naturally, people said, sure, no problem, be happy to. By saying they would do this or saying yes over the phone, most people then felt obligated. They felt like they had to honor their promise. When you honor your promise, you're just saying you're going to do what you said you were going to do. So you honor your promise and you call the restaurant back. If you decide, hey, I think I want to cancel tonight, we're going to do something else or go somewhere else. That way the restaurant doesn't have a no-show. They can have other people make a reservation.
Right, and of course some people still don't call back, but most of them do because most of them want to be consistent. If they said, yes, they'll do something, they want to actually do it, show that they honor their promise, like you said. So they call back and they cancel their dinner reservation instead of not giving notice. This phrase, to give notice, basically means to tell someone something. Usually we use it with something that's not very great or happy or positive, like give notice that you're quitting a job, give notice to cancel a reservation, or something like that. Okay, let's move into our second paragraph now and learn about the next principle of persuasion. Three, social validation. Doing what others do can really factor in the process of persuasion. The majority of people choose to follow the crowd when making a decision. For example, most people do not start fashion trends. Instead, they watch what others are wearing and then decide what to buy. All right, the next principle is social validation. And we can look at those two words. If it's social, it has to do with society. Validation means giving something value or kind of giving it truth value. So it shows that that thing is good. Combine them together and we're basically talking about helping someone feel like they're part of a group.
Yeah, that they fit in, that they're not weird, that they're doing what most people are doing, they're kind of cool. Doing what others do can really factor in the process of persuasion. Now, when we use this term factor in, we're saying you want to include something in your process. Okay, it's something that you're going to use in your calculations, for example. And this is something that's important when you're talking about this process of persuasion, feeling like you're part of what the rest of society is doing. You know, you're just following the crowd.
Exactly. The majority of people will choose to follow the crowd, just like you said, when they make a decision. Now, a crowd is a big group of people, so if you follow the crowd, you go where they go, you act like they're acting, the point is you do what everyone else does. Now, for example, most people do not start fashion trends. A trend is something that tends to be true out there in the world. Usually, we're talking style or culture. So, a fashion trend would be what everyone tends to be wearing right now. And usually, people like everyone around don't start their own fashion trends. Usually, it's maybe one or two or three people. But then what does everybody else do?
Well, they want to fit in, right? They want to seem like they're doing what other people are doing. I know that when a new style of shoes comes out, for example, I'll look at them for a while and I'll think, those are kind of cute. You know, you don't want to feel like you're out of style or not in style. So you'll go and buy the same type of shoe. That's a fashion trend. You're just trying to wear what's currently in style, wearing what's popular in clothing. This is a way to follow the crowd. You just want to wear what other people are wearing in that particular season.
Exactly, and that's what it's all about. They watch what others are wearing, and then they decide what to buy. So here's the idea of how to use it with persuasion, is you can try and find ways to get people to believe that everybody's doing it, so I want to do it also. Okay, listeners, let's take a moment now to listen to some Chinese explanation.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 继续我们昨天的话题,
我们今天要来看的这个第一个特质叫做 consistency， 也就是一致性、一贯咯。我们来看到在这一段当中的最后一个句子写着 By saying yes over the phone, most people felt obligated to honor their promise and called back if they decided to cancel their dinner reservation instead of not giving any notice。 我们要来看到的就是在这里的 honor 的用法，用来当作是动词，有如期支出或者是兑现的意思。其实呢 ，honor 原来也可以解释成为尊敬，或者是给予光荣，就等于 respect。举个例子来说 ，Will you honor me with a visit？ 可否光临指教呢？我们就可以用 honor 这个字来当作动词。而这里所谓的 honor their promise， 就是解释成为兑现他们的承诺。那么同时另外要做的一个动作就是 called back if they decided to cancel their dinner reservation。 我们讲到呢，在餐厅的预定定位就可以用 reservation， 而要做预定定位这个动作可以用的片语就是 make a reservation 或者是 book a reservation。 那么它是来自于动词 reserve，R-E-S-E-R-V-E， 所以我们常常去餐厅想要一个很棒的座位，可是呢牌子却写着 reserved， 就代表这个位子已经被人家预定了。而后面的这个片语 instead of 就是有取代的意思，取代后面这个动作 not giving any notice。 我们要看的是 notice 这个字当作名词解释成为告知、通知，搭配在这里的动词就是 give。 The whistle blew to give notice that the boat was about to leave， 吹响了哨子就是要通知大家船要离开了。而其实呢 notice 常用的在我们解雇、解约所用的预先告知也可以用 notice 这个字。She gave her master 2 weeks notice to quit， 她要辞职之前先告知她的老板两个礼拜的预先告知。另外 notice 也常常解释成为注意、注目。 You had better take no notice of what he says， 你呀最好不要管他说了哪些话。在这里用的用法就是 take notice of， 也就是有注意、注目的意思。接着我们来看到呢，在这里第二段写着 Doing what others do can really factor in the process of persuasion。 片语 factor in 就解释成为把什么作为考量的因素，而 factor 呢这个字本来用来当作动词，有分解因数，是一种数学的用法。而 factor something out 或者是 fact out something则是有排除什么的因素。
Okay, listeners, we're gonna take a short break now, but we'll be right back with our fourth principle of persuasion. Welcome back to Landmark English. I'm Bill, here with Stephanie, looking at day 2 of The Power of Persuasion. Let's continue our articles here. We'll begin by reading through the third paragraph.
Four, liking. Naturally, we tend to say yes to people whom we like and feel connected to.There are many factors which lead us to like a person or feel a rapport. Physical attractiveness is one major factor. Similarities of culture, social interests, and opinions can also play a part. Compliments, sincere or not, can stimulate others to like you as well.
Okay, so naturally we tend to say yes to people whom we like and feel connected to. Here's the big thing, it's all about liking someone. If you don't like someone, you're probably not going to buy something from them. You're not going to agree to help them or give them what they want. Because naturally, or you know, just kind of, it comes from within ourselves, from being people and living in the world. Naturally, we usually or tend to say yes to people when we like them, people whom we like.
Now, when we say we tend to do something, it just means it's likely to happen or it's probably going to happen. So, you know, it's likely that we'll say yes to people that we like and feel a connection to. If you feel connected to someone, it means you have a relationship. You have things in common. You feel like, hey, this person, I can relate to this person. There are many factors, and a factor, just so you know, is something that is part of an important whole. There are many things which lead us to like a person or feel a rapport. Now, here's an interesting word, rapport. A rapport is sort of a friendly relationship. You have a rapport with someone when you feel like you understand each other. You understand each other kind of easily, too. You don't have to keep explaining yourselves. You don't have fights all the time. You kind of get each other.
Right, so there's many different things that can cause you to have this rapport with another person, different things that can help you like another person. So, for example, what a person who wants to get people to buy things or do things for them might think is, well, what are some of these things that can help people feel comfortable with me and help me develop a rapport with them? For example, here's one that's pretty obvious. Physical attractiveness is one major factor. And this is true. I mean, think about it. You're much more likely to buy something from a salesperson that, well, doesn't make you want to cry and run away when you look at them, right?
Well, just picture the ladies they use to model things, right? Are they ugly? No! They're beautiful because we're attracted to people who are beautiful.
And that's what we're talking about when we say physical attractiveness. Physical means it's about the body. And attractiveness is the quality that someone has of, well, being beautiful, of looking good. Okay, so it's one major factor. We say major to show that it's a big, a large factor, or a large piece of this idea of liking. We've also got things like similarities of culture, social interests, and opinions. These can also play a part. So if you have these similarities or samenesses with someone else, for example, you share cultural ideas and music, you have similar social interests, you like to do the same things, you even have similar opinions, you believe the same things, say, about government or religion. These can play a big part.
When we use this phrase, play a part, it just means these things are involved in how something works. They're an important aspect or part of the process. Well, play a part's our Fun with Phrases phrase, and we have some more phrases for you to listen to.
Do you know anyone who could have played a part in this terrible crime?
No, I can't think of anyone.
Could you please tell us when you first noticed it missing?
Sure. It was about an hour ago when I came home from grocery shopping. It was just gone.
I see. Well, judging by the evidence, I'd say whoever played a part in this crime is still here.
Really? Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. Just look at this trail of crumbs. It leads all the way into the living room.
I see it. Let's follow it.
The culprit is behind this door. I'll open it on three. One, two, three.
Max! How could you have played a part in eating my chocolate cake?
Okay, so we've got looking good, we've got connecting with someone, having the culture, social interests, and opinions that may be similar. We've also got compliments, bringing it full circle back to the beginning of the show here, when I said Stephanie is such a great teacher, which is true. A compliment is when you say something nice to someone about themselves. For example, you might tell someone, that's a great shirt, or, you know, you're a really friendly person. These are all compliments.
Now, it doesn't matter if you mean them. Do you see this, sincere or not? When you're sincere, you really mean what you're saying. Now, the opposite of that is insincere. That means you don't really mean it. You're just saying it. It doesn't matter if your compliments are real or not. These compliments can stimulate others to like you as well. When you stimulate something, you help or encourage it to start, to begin an activity perhaps, or maybe even to get something to develop more quickly. So if you want to stimulate a friendship, compliment that person a lot more, and they'll begin to like you even more.
Exactly. Stimulate is today's word power word, so let's take a closer look at the word stimulate.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Word Power. My name is Joe. In today's article, we learned about how compliments can stimulate others to like you. The verb stimulate is used to describe how something can make someone else perform a certain action. For example, let's say that you are at a party and no one is dancing to the music. But then one person gets up to dance, and suddenly everyone else starts to dance. We could say that the first dancer's actions stimulated everyone else to dance. We can also use the word stimulate to mean invigorate. A really good example of this is my morning cup of coffee. I'm not a morning person, so I usually need something to wake me up. Coffee has caffeine in it, so having a cup of coffee really wakes me up in the morning, so I can say that it stimulates me. Because caffeine is something that makes people feel more awake, it is known as a stimulant. So stimulate can mean to cause a certain action, or to cause to be alert and energetic. It can also mean to stir certain feelings in someone, as in the delicious aroma coming from the kitchen really stimulated my appetite. We can also use an adjective form of the word stimulate, stimulating, to describe something that made us feel more aware or more alive. All right, that's all the time we have for today's Word Power. Thanks for listening.
All right, so we're talking all about persuasion here. I think what we better do is get our students to sit still and listen for just a few more minutes because they're so smart and, you know, everyone else is doing this. And they told us that they would listen to our show, so we hope that they would be consistent. As we have our Chinese teacher help you out with this last paragraph.
接着我们来看到今天的最后一段，第二句写着 There are many factors which lead us to like a person or fear a rapport. 在这里的 factor 用来当作是名词，解释成为因素、原因，所以幸福的因素就叫做 a factor of happiness. Luck was a factor in his success.他的成功其实运气是一个主要的因素，而后面有个片语 lead someone to， 也就是引导、导致的意思。而讲到 feel a rapport， 则是解释成为感觉到亲密的意思。接着是这一段的最后一句写着 ，compliments sincere or not can stimulate others to like you as well。stimulate 这个字呢，则是有刺激的意思。Coffee stimulates the heart. 咖啡有刺激心脏的作用，而 stimulate 也可以用来当作动词，解释成为鼓舞、激励的意思。The praise stimulated him to study harder. 这样子的称赞就鼓励了他要更努力用功念书。而名词 stimulus, S-T-I-M-U-L-U-S, 就解释成为刺激物或者是兴奋剂。
Okay, listeners, now we'd like to take a moment to listen to today's Landmark Chat.
Landmark Chat.
So, Stephanie, in today's show, we talked about three more of these tendencies, three more behavioral patterns you can kind of use, kind of capitalize on in order to get someone to do something. For example, we talked about social validation, and I think that's a big one. I mean, it's the everyone else is doing it, so you should too argument.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times when I'm in a mall and I'm shopping, I'll buy something just because I've seen it on other people. I know it's in style. I want to be in style and be cool. It's not because I like that thing a lot. It's just that I want to fit in better.
Right. You know what I think is probably one of the best examples of using this particular behavior tendency of people is LV, Louis Vuitton, the bags, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what do? They make bags. Come on.
And they're brown.
Yeah. All you need is like a paper sack to carry your stuff in. But all of their bags, they have all of these ones that some people can afford and a few that hardly anyone can afford. But those few are carried by movie stars, by famous people. So everyone sees them and says, hey, I'll be a part of that social group if I go buy myself an LV bag.
Yeah, it kind of symbolizes that you have class or a lot of money, maybe that you're wealthy. Now, be honest here. Bill, have you ever bought an LV bag?
No, I can't say that I have, not for me and not for anyone else, honestly.
I just don't even think they're very attractive. I was going to say I could buy a fake one, but I just don't think they're good looking.
Well, I don't really know much about them, to tell the truth, other than the fact that they're very popular and that people buy them really because of this brilliant marketing that they have done that capitalizes on or really uses social validation. Now, just real quickly, let's mention this other tendency, the one about liking.
Mm.
So let's say you go to the store, you're going to buy an LV bag because, well, everyone else has one. And the salesperson that wants to sell you one smells really bad. Are you going to buy it?
No, I think that would turn me off. I would probably walk away. But if a really handsome guy was trying to sell it to me, I might listen to him for a while.
Right, because you never know. Maybe his phone number will be on the back of the receipt, right?
Maybe I could get a date out of it. You never know.
All right, let's take a second look at today's vocabulary.
Consistency. I admire Eric's consistency because he always shows up for class. Reservation. Diana called the restaurant to make a reservation for a table for 4 people. Compliment. Alexander paid his friend a compliment by telling her how beautiful she looked in her dress. Stimulate. Anthony's interest in painting was stimulated by his father.
Okay, listeners, there's day 2 of the Power of Persuasion. Tomorrow, we'll wrap up our list of different principles of persuasion that can help you get someone to do something you want them to do.
I'll be curious to hear what the next steps are, because I'm really studying these, Bill.
You are. I think you're going to try and get me to do something.
I'm preparing myself.
Okay, well, listeners, if you want to see what Stephanie will try to get Bill to do, you'll have to come back tomorrow. Until then, I'm Bill.
I'm Stephanie.
See you next time.